Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. It is the Lord in the dawning, in the renewal, in the arrival of the new day. It is the Lord in the crowd, in the church, in the conversation, and in the crisis. It is the Lord in our joys, in our sorrows, in our sickness, in our health. It is the Lord in the stable, in the humble, in the stranger, in the poor. It is the Lord at the table, in the market, along the roadway, on the cross. It is the Lord, risen and returned, alive forevermore, giving new life. It is the Lord. Affirmation of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Our scripture text this morning comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They still call it the Easter miracle in Tanzania. It was Easter Sunday for the Ibuga Christians of Western Tanzania. In one village, a large crowd had gathered to worship. Many came out of curiosity to hear about a God who conquered death. While they were singing and praising God, they didn't know the danger that awaited them. At that moment, a crazed mother lion was stalking their village, not killing to eat, but just killing every living thing in sight. She killed several goats, cows, and a woman with a small child. Then she turned toward the singing worshipers. When they saw her standing ready to charge, the crowd froze in fear. The village preacher shouted, "Pray, people, because we're worshiping a living Lord. The God who locked the lion's jaws for Daniel is here today." And he turned to the lion and said, "You lion, I curse you in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ." That day had been partially cloudy, but with no storm. Suddenly, a lightning bolt struck the lion and she immediately fell dead. The tribal pastor ran over, jumped up and down on the carcass, and used it as a platform for his preaching. Before he could give an invitation, 11 people came forward immediately to be saved, as did many others in the hours that followed. For many of us, life is filled with troubling experiences and thoughts. The disciples didn't know what to make of the crucifixion, the tomb, and the emptiness. Everything had been turned upside down. For 3 years, they thought that they had poured their lives into Jesus and his coming kingdom. It was like a crazed, stalking lioness had devoured their plans and their dreams. But what went wrong? Is this all there was? Why did it end like this? The living word, Jesus, had an answer for them. He rose from the dead to live forever and to give us eternal life too. He still has answers for all of our troubles. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his band of followers. The scene is almost comical. The disciples were standing in a room locked behind closed doors talking about Jesus. Suddenly, Jesus is standing right there. Now, these disciples of the year 33 AD had never experienced Star Trek. They never watched Captain Kirk. They never saw Captain Kirk say, "Beam me in, Scotty." Poof. In the understatement of all time, the Bible says that the 12 were unsettled. But Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt?" Now, believe me, had we been there, our troubled spirits would have been scattering like 3-year-olds in a Halloween spook house. Jesus calms them and gives them a magnificent 2-pronged invitation. He tells them to examine him. He's no ghost. Then he says, "Experience me. Examine me. Look at my hands and my feet, as I myself. Touch me." When Jesus said to look at his hands and feet, he was inviting the look of study. His disciples needed to know it was the same Jesus that they had known. They needed to verify that what Jesus had said had really come true. All the disciples predicted the triumph of Messiah. Jesus had been dead, but now he was alive. This was just too good to be true. The disciples must have felt like Abraham did when the angel told this 100-year-old man that he was going to be a daddy. Or like the father of that little girl Jesus had raised from the dead. It's just too wonderful to believe it was happening. I felt that way many years ago when Vicky said that, "Yes, I'll marry you." She was classy and beautiful, and I was the clumsy guy that had 2 left feet and no common sense. It couldn't be that she said yes. I wanted to go out and find a notary and make sure that she couldn't change her mind. The world wants proof about Jesus these days. In April 2002, the well-respected Oxford University philosophy professor, Richard Swinburne, used a broadly accepted probability theory to defend the truth of Christ's resurrection. He did this at a high-profile gathering of philosophy professors at Yale University. In a New York Times interview, Swinburne said that for someone dead for 36 hours to come to life again is, according to the laws of nature, extremely improbable. But if there's a God of the traditional kind, natural laws only operate because he makes them operate. Swinburne used the Bayes' theorem to assign values to things like the probability that God is real, Jesus' behavior during his lifetime, and the quality of witness testimony after his death. Then he plugged the numbers into a probability formula, and adding everything up, the result, a 97% probability that the resurrection really happened. We also must study Jesus. Too many of us have coasted through our spiritual lives because we do not examine Jesus. We do not study our Bibles to let God speak to our hearts and learn more of Jesus. A newly retired couple bought a motorhome, and as they were traveling down the road in their new toy, the husband became tired and asked the wife to take over. She was nervous, having never operated anything larger than a Volkswagen. However, after the husband's brief explanation of where everything was, she took over while he napped. She put the vehicle in cruise control, and it worked perfectly. And after an hour of straight driving, she got up to go to the bathroom. When the wreckage was cleared away, she explained to the highway patrol officer that she thought cruise control was like the automatic pilot on airplanes. Spiritual cruise control will get the same results. Jesus also told the disciples to touch. He wanted them to have a physical, reassuring experience. That is impossible today, as Jesus is in heaven, but he has not left us without the comfort of that touch. He provides that in the fellowship of his body, the church. One of the reasons that the electronic church cannot ever substitute for the real one is the absence of the touch. When the body is healthy and operative, there's no other place in the world to be. There you are loved, you are accepted, and you're made welcome. There you are employed for the sake of the kingdom. There you call it home. You're invited to examine him. Touch his body. How, you might ask? Preacher, you said that it was impossible. Hang around here at Pea Ridge for a couple of weeks and see if the love of this church fellowship, his body, isn't as genuine as it looks. Examine him. But Jesus also bids us to go further. The second part of Luke 24:39 says, and see. It is one thing to examine or touch Jesus. It is quite another to have him touch you. This is a progression of experience. On the one hand, we're invited to check him out. Taste and see that the Lord is good, is written in Psalms 34:8. When we do examine or touch the Lord to see his goodness, a wonderful thing happens. We begin to understand this invitation, and we are confronted with the choice to receive him as our Lord. Borrowing from the 23rd Psalm, we could turn the phrase and say that only those who call the shepherd Lord can truly call the Lord shepherd. When you invite this examined Lord to be your Lord, you experience him. He touches you. What do you experience when Jesus touches you? Psalms 119 verse 63 says, I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. Knowing the companionship of Jesus means you don't ever have to be alone again. Are you lonely? Let Jesus touch you. Others have experienced the companionship of Jesus in the darkest moments of life. I've met many talented pastors from many denominations. Some lead mega-sized churches in this area, and others minister to congregations even smaller than ours. Pastors know many things. One thing that they don't know is any special exemption from suffering and loss. The common testimony that I hear from them is that it is only the companionship of Jesus that keeps them from losing sanity and helps them sense the will to live and to continue. You can know his companionship, and you also know his compassion. Exodus 20 verse 6 says, God shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. For the parable of the Good Samaritan to the cross of Calvary, there's no questioning the compassion of Jesus to those who are in need. His love and help are never dependent on your merit. None of us qualifies for anything but hell. Without the grace of God, there would be no compassion, no quenching of that fire. Are you oppressed and troubled? Let Jesus touch you. Experience his companionship, his compassion, and his confidence. John 10, verses 27 to 28 says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. What Christ has done takes the doubt out of life. It takes the scary unknown and sends it packing. The card game of hearts defines this concept. In that game, only the suit of hearts plus the queen of spades can affect the score. Each heart counts 1 point against you, and the queen of spades counts 13 against. However, if you can capture all 13 heart cards and the queen of spades, you turn 26 points against you into 26 points against all the other players. It's a hard thing to do. Somebody always keeps count and will try to get at least one heart to spoil your run. The strategy is to save a few big cards like a king, an ace, a queen for the end of the game. Once in a while, a player will get a good enough hand to guarantee he takes all the hearts. When that happens and all the hearts are taken and safely in your stack, it doesn't matter what your enemy players have saved for the end of the game. Aces, kings, queens, they may take a hand, but there will be no hearts in them. The point cards are all gone. The game is over. You just play out your hand. Their aces and their kings become meaningless. Beloved, that's what it's like to have Jesus touch you. When you accept him, Jesus protects your heart. All Satan's ace and king accusations become meaningless. The game is over. Satan just doesn't know it yet. All the point cards of sin are gone. And one day, when God has declared the game to be officially over, Jesus will come back again, and all of Satan's accusations, all his attacks, will be meaningless because Jesus said so. Do you want peace? Do you want someone to shoulder the scary side of life with you? Do you want those troubling thoughts and experiences to begin making sense? Examine Jesus. Experience Jesus. This is his invitation to you. He is waiting with his companionship, his compassion, and his confidence for your invitation to come in. Won't you accept that invitation this morning? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you know us all and that you look deep into our hearts, watching over us in everything we go through, whether easy or difficult. We thank you that we do not stand alone, but that you hear the smallest sigh of each of your children. We thank you that darkness must give way to light, distress to joy, and fear to strength and courage. For you lead us through everything. It is what you bring about from your future world, not anything within our sight, that gives us strength and courage that endures through everything. We thank you from our hearts for your unending gifts, and we're amazed that it was possible for us to receive all of this from you. Protect us and keep us childlike so that we remain in the fellowship that the Lord Jesus has given us, singing praise to him and to the glory and honor of your name. We pray these things in the humble and precious name of Jesus, who taught us the model prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.